You would, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 21. I've been preaching on old stories, and this week I come in Wednesday, and Monday, I started trying to prepare something, and it just wasn't fitting. It just didn't feel right. Come in Wednesday, same thing. Thursday, Friday morning, I got in the car with Glenn, and we rode down to Charlotte, and as we rode, I started seeing why, because, you know, I know y'all won't believe this, but I can be stubborn. I can be stubborn with the Lord. And sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes I'll be, man, look at you. Sometimes, I'm not going to embarrass nobody, don't look. Sometimes I can be stubborn to the point to where I don't want to do something because everybody else is going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you preach this message because it's Easter, you preach an Easter message. I mean, that's the greatest message in the world. But, you know, sometimes you get into where you preach this because it's like, you know, this. And I didn't want to do that. And this week I was going to preach something else. And Friday, man, it's like when we was in the car, I started reading. I started telling Glenn, I was preaching going down the road and my hands get to going. And she's like, people will think we're fussing. We do that a lot, don't we? She said, calm down. My hands is like. So the Lord showed me some stuff. And then Wednesday night, I just decided this morning, I felt the Lord laid on my heart. Wednesday night, I'm supposed to continue and go up to the crucifixion and stuff. So Wednesday night's going to be powerful too. But in Matthew chapter 21, we see, and I'm going to skip through some of this, okay? I'm going to walk through some of this. In the first part of Matthew chapter 21, Jesus sends the disciples to go get a donkey. And he said, if anybody asks you, now a couple different versions are in here, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but I chose Matthew. But he tells the disciples to go and get this donkey, and he's going to use it to fulfill scriptures. And so when they get the donkey, some of them put their clothes on it, and y'all know it's called the triumphal entry, and Jesus comes into Jerusalem. It's the last time he's going to come. And when he comes in, they put their coats and clothes on the top of the donkey. And then all these people, if you look at verse 5, it says, let me go to verse 3. It says, if anyone says anything to you, say unto the Lord needs him. And he says, the owner will say, go right away. They took their place and they spoke through the prophet that would come true. It says, say to the city of Zion, see your king comes to you. He is gentle and riding on a donkey. He is riding on a donkey's colt. I want you to notice where it says he is gentle. Everybody say the word gentle. Gentle. Okay. He is gentle. And then it says this, the disciples went and did what Jesus told them to do. They brought the donkey or the colt and the colt. They placed their coats on them, as Jesus said on them. A very large crowd spread their coats on the road. Others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Some of the people went ahead of him and some followed and shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes, or happy is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So we get this picture. First of all, it's a miracle that Jesus could ride this little colt, because it ain't never been ridden before. And we tried that down at First Assembly when we went to church there. And a guy named Robbie was playing Jesus, and he got on that little donkey, and that thing bucked him all over the place. You remember, he got on there, boy, we thought, well, if Jesus can do it, Robbie can do it. Robbie said, yeah, I'll try. He got on there, and boom, that thing bucked him everywhere. But Jesus got on his colt because it was scriptural, okay? But I want you to notice some things. The title of my message this morning is From Hosanna to Crucifying. From Hosanna to Crucifying. 5 days after they did this. 5 days after they did this, they was yelling, crucifying. Hosanna means help us. Save us. See, at the Feast of Tabernacles, 7 days, one time a day, for 7 days, they would take palm branches and they would walk around the altar. And they would pray and they would cry out to the Lord, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, help us. They wanted the Lord to help them. So for 7 days, they would walk around one time a day. And then on the eighth day when they went in to walk around, they would shout, Hosanna, Hosanna. And it was called the Great Hosanna. So what they were doing is they were believing that Jesus was the Messiah. We've got to get that. He was the Messiah. They were believing that the scriptures are true, that Jesus was the Messiah. He was coming in on a colt. But not everybody liked it. Amen? And it says this, that Jesus, after this, he goes into the temple. Now remember, it says, here comes your king, gentle and riding on a colt or a donkey. Well, the next verses talk about Jesus going into the temple. There's several different translations there. I chose this one. Jesus goes into the temple and he sees the money changers in there and they're selling and buying. And what they were really doing was they were selling sacrifices because it was a sacrifice to be made once a year. And these people were buying the sacrifice. Instead of raising it and caring about their sacrifice, they were just giving $5, you know, and getting a little dove, and they were going to sacrifice. It didn't mean anything to them. And then it was exchanging money in the house of God. And one translation, which I love, says that Jesus sat down in a corner and he made up a whip. He made up a whip. And then it says here, it says that Jesus entered the temple courtyard and he began to drive out all those who were buying and selling there. He turned over their tables of the people who were exchanging money. He also turned over the benches of those who were selling doves. That don't look like no gentle person, does it? See, y'all need to listen to this. They never saw this side of Jesus. Well, at one time he did say, "You brood of vipers," and he did talk to the religious people like this, but they never saw Jesus do anything like this. They always saw Jesus real humble and meek. And I've been told y'all one time, meek don't mean weak. Meek don't mean weak. Christians are not supposed to be weak. We're supposed to be meek. Meek is temperance and control. Hallelujah. It's like taking that stallion. That stallion's got all this strength and all this power, but you put that bit in there and you temper him and you can control him. That's the way y'all need to look at your neighbor and say, "You a stallion and you need to be controlled. You got all this power harnessed. You got all this stuff that God's got inside of you, but you're supposed to be harnessed." Everybody pray for my wife because I need to be harnessed. I can get crazy sometimes. I know y'all don't believe that. But Jesus, when he clears them out, he don't go in there and say, "Hey, fellas, y'all need to get out of here. My Father's house is going to be called a house of prayer, and you made it a den of thieves." No, he didn't do that. Can you now think about this? They were settled and structured. They've been doing this for a long time. So it wasn't like Jesus could just pop up in and get mad and say, "Hey, y'all get out." No, man, he got mad. I mean, he got a righteous anger. And the scripture says the zeal of the Lord has eaten him up. He was ticked off because they took the house of God and made it a den of thieves, and they're supposed to be praying in there. Instead of praying, they was playing. Oh, hallelujah. There's a lot of churches, help me Jesus and us included, if we ain't careful, we'll get to playing church instead of praying church. Hallelujah. Some of y'all saying, "What did I walk into?" You walked into a Holy Ghost-filled room. The word God's going to do what he wants to do. And it ain't got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with him. Amen. And yes, you're going to hear the truth in love. Jesus gave him the truth in love. He gave him the right hand of fellowship with a whip. Woo! I ain't broke out the whip yet. But I have threatened a couple times, haven't I? But look, man, and as he goes in there and he scatters them all about, he said, "My house is to be called a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of robbers." But I want you to notice something, man. God is so awesome. He showed me some things I was telling Glenn. He showed me just a couple things that I've read it a million times and just didn't click with it. But look at the very next verse, what it says. It says, "Blind people and those who were disabled came to Jesus at the temple. There he healed them." No, listen, man, this is crazy. This is best Mercedes Scott Mann version. He kicked all the goofballs out, and then God could move. He kicked all the religious people out, and then God could move. When you get a church and you get all the religious garbage out, God can move. Don't look at me like that. He's a bunch of sacred cows. Y'all ever heard of that before? He's a bunch of sacred cows. Churches have these things that you just do not do. Ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. Ain't got nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. It's just you don't, mama, grandma said not do that. You don't do that. They had a form of godliness and they denied his power. He run them out. And when he run them out, the power fell. Amen. Y'all listen. That's what's supposed to be happening in the temple. People are supposed to be getting healed and saved and set free and marriages restored. That's supposed to happen in the house of God. And if it ain't happening, you're just having church. Man, I get to see. I wish y'all could see all the things. Y'all don't even know what God did this morning. God did some powerful stuff this morning already. I don't even have to preach, but I'm going to. Some of y'all look at your wife and say, man, I would want to eat some chicken. You'll get some chicken, but you're going to get some spiritual filet mignon this morning. Amen. And look here, he said, the chief priests, listen to me, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, these people that are supposed to know what's going on, these people that read the scriptures, supposed to know the scriptures, they knew them better than we know them. They had to learn the five first books of the Bible. They had to learn them before they were 12 years old. Help us, Jesus. Most of you can't even quote can't even pronounce the first five books of the Bible. I can't spell them, but I know them. I might could spell them. I'm better. But look here, it says, the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw, they saw with their own eyes, they saw the wonderful things, not the crazy stuff, not the bad, they saw the wonderful things that Jesus did. They also saw the children in the temple courtyard shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. But when they saw all this, they became angry. Boy, church folk get angry. They see somebody come in that's been in a bunch of mess, busted, disgusted, and can't be trusted, and they get blessed, and they start shouting, praising God, and the church folk get, who do they think they are? They're saved, goofball! They're set free! They're what we sung about this morning. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Some of y'all still bound up. Don't look at me like that. You got religious constipation. You need to have a spiritual bowel movement. I don't know where that come from, but that's good. Some of y'all need to have a spiritual bowel movement. Woo! Look at your neighbor and say, yep, he said it. That's good stuff right there. You need some spiritual X-lax. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. They got angry, man. They wanted to kill him. Can you imagine Jesus being so humble at first? That's all they saw. And then now he goes in and he wreaks havoc on them, runs them out of the temple. And now they're so mad at him. And then he does this stuff. He does all these wonderful things, not bad things, wonderful things. And they get mad and want to kill him. Blows my mind. But you know what? They were blinded. The Bible says that carnal people, oh Lord, help me. Carnal people can't see the things of God. How many people in our world are blinded today that can't see what's going on? There's people in the church that are blinded. When you see this crazy, idiotic, bless his heart, lost soul, if you don't find Jesus, making a dang devil tennis shoe, a Satan tennis shoe, and Nike supporting that, putting it, and y'all think, well, it's just a coincidence, it's just crazy. No, it's demonic. It's demonic. And if you buy something like that for your kids and they wear them in here, I'm going to have to pay for them because I'm going to rip them off and throw them in the trash. They're blinded. They were blinded and people today are blinded. Hallelujah. I'm good, right? I'm calm. I'm good. I'm excited. I'm passionate. I want to rip the devil's head off. I don't want to even mess with you. He says, do you hear, the religious people said, do you hear what the children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Haven't you read about this in the scripture? I love that. He's talking to the religious people that teach the scripture. They teach the scripture. They knew the scripture. And he says, hadn't you read the Bible? That's what I want to tell some people sometimes. They'll be living a certain way and thinking everything. I said, have you ever read the Bible? That's what Jesus was basically saying to these religious people. I know what you say you know, but you only have a head knowledge. You don't have a heart knowledge. Have you not read what the scripture says is going to happen? It's right before you and you don't even see it. It says, have you not read what they said? Yes, Jesus replied. Haven't you read about it in the scripture? It says, Lord, you have made sure that the children and infants praise you. These kids is worshiping Jesus. They're saying, Hosanna, help us, save us. And the religious people are mad because Jesus is healing blind people and disabled people. It'd be like blind people and disabled people coming in here and us anointing them with oil and praying for them and they're getting healed. And then church people looking and say, why are they doing that in church? Don't that belong in the hospital? Amen. Are y'all good? Good. I'm going to keep going. I'll make you bad in a minute. Jesus left. He spent the night in Bethany. Then the next morning, this is something good here. Have y'all ever wondered why Jesus cursed a fig tree? Anybody ever wondered that? Just two people. The rest of you, you never read it? Or you got the answer? I'm a curious person. And I'm curious to why Jesus cursed a fig tree. I never understood why Jesus cursed a fig tree. Because in this translation here, in this setting, it doesn't say that the fig tree was not in season. But when Jesus come down through there, it says early in the morning, Jesus was on his way back to Jerusalem. He was hungry. He had all the physical things that he dealt with, all the physical things that we do. He was hungry. He saw a fig tree by the road and he went up to it and found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. Right away, the tree dried up. Now, in the other translation, it says that when Jesus went up and he looked at the fig tree, that it wasn't the season for figs. So I'm sitting there thinking, why would Jesus curse a fig tree if it wasn't supposed to have figs? Y'all don't think like me. I'm like, why would you do that, Jesus? I mean, poor old fig tree. It ain't supposed to have figs, but you said you hungry, you wanted figs, so you curse it. And I've always wondered that. And yesterday, or Friday, when I was riding with Glenna, I know why now. And I'm going to share it with you. Riding down the road, down 485, wherever we is at, it says, when the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did the fig tree dry up so quickly, they asked. Jesus replied, what I'm about to tell you is true. You must have faith and not doubt. He was talking about prayer earlier. Now he's talking about faith and not doubt. Then you can do what was done to the fig tree. And if you can say to this mountain, go and be thrown yourself into the sea, it will be done. If you believe, you will receive what you ask when you pray. He didn't curse the fig tree because it didn't really have no figs on it. He cursed the fig tree because it wasn't supposed to have figs on it. And he cursed it so they would see that it was withered up, not because he needed to see it. He don't need to see it. He already knows what power he has. But this is the last week that the disciples are going to be with him. He knows he's getting ready to lead them. So he's trying to teach them. He was a great teacher. He's trying to teach them all this awesome stuff. And so he showed them that if you say this to this mountain and you tell it to be cast into the sea and you believe in your heart, it'll happen. And if you curse this fig tree, it'll happen. When the devil comes after you and he tempts you and he messes with you and he does all these things to try to come against you and you speak to him, hallelujah, let it rain, baby. Listen, when you need a miracle, you pray. Trust God. Believe. That's what he's telling the disciples. There's going to come a day, fellas, when you're going to need to pray and you're going to need to believe God. Church, listen to me. There's coming a day, and it's probably now, when you need to pray and you need to believe God. You need to have faith. You need a miracle. And Jesus says, you're no different than me. Yeah, he's the Son of God. I'm not taking away from that. But he told them that if you pray and you believe in your heart, and it's according to God's will, don't just go out and sit and pray over Robert's new truck out there. I've been thinking about doing that, by the way. But don't just go pray over his truck and think God's going to tell Robert to give you that truck. That ain't what I'm talking about. When you pray according to God's will. Now, Robert, if it's God's will, you can give it to me anytime you want. But I'm just saying. I'm kidding. Look, he told him to pray. And then he told him, if you believe, all these things will happen. So then the next couple of verses, it says here, Jesus entered the temple courtyard while he was teaching. The chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. Religious people was always coming against him. They were always coming against him. He said, they said, by what authority are you doing these things? By what authority are you healing people? By what authority are you casting out devils? By what authority are you running all these people out of the temple? Who died and left you boss? You ever heard that before? Who gave you this authority? And Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. Now, I love this right here. I love the way Jesus always turned everything. He said, if you answer me, then I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. Where did John's baptism come from? John the Baptist. He knew they didn't like John the Baptist. Matter of fact, they had him killed. They had him beheaded. Because why? He preached truth. The Bible says he laid the axe to the root. He didn't pull no punches. I dare say John the Baptist wouldn't have been welcome in many churches. One thing, he wore camel's hair, and he probably smelt bad because he lived out in the desert. Another thing is, he was a man, and he told you the way it was. He come to prepare the way of the Lord. Like a big old bulldozer, buddy. You know, if you're going to go clearing some land, you get a big bulldozer, and you just run through that, and you clear the land, right? That's what John the Baptist did. He cleared the land. He cleared the way, and Jesus knew it. So he asked him, he said, what baptism did he come from? Why did y'all come and let him baptize you? And he said, was it from heaven, or did it come from human authority? They talked to one another about it. They said, if we say it's from heaven, he will ask them, why didn't you believe him? Jesus is smart, man. You can't outsmart Jesus. But if we say from human authority, we are afraid of the people, because everyone believed that John was a prophet. So he said, if we say that it come from heaven, then he's going to say, why didn't you listen to him? Why didn't you do what he said? If you say it come from human beings, then the church is going to be mad at you because the church listened to him. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. We don't know. And look what he said. Jesus said unto them, then I won't tell you by what authority I'm doing these things either. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. He didn't pull no punches. Some of y'all think Jesus was a little wimpy dude. Man, he'll whoop everybody in this room. He was a man's man. He wasn't no wimp. You think 12 disciples that were burly old fishermen and all this stuff, tax collectors and everything, it's going to go hang out with a wimp? Do you? Some of your mentality of Jesus is all construed. It's messed up. Jesus was a man's man. He wasn't a wimp. He could handle himself. Even though he was God in the flesh, he was a man's man. He was my Jesus wasn't no wimp. Amen? And then it says this. He says, what do you think about this? A man had two sons. He went to the first son. He said, go and work today in the vineyard. And the son said, I will not. The son answered. But later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to another son. And he said the same thing. The son answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two sons did what the father wanted? The first, they answered. And Jesus said, what I'm about to tell you is true. Listen. Woo! You want to know how they got from Hosanna to crucifying? This is how they got from Hosanna to crucifying. Because he ticked them off. He made them mad. He told them the truth. Listen to what he said. He said, what I'm about to tell you is true. Tax collectors and prostitutes will enter the kingdom of God before you. That sounds like a wimp, don't it? He looked at the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people. And he said, you got it all wrong. You think because you know scripture, you think because you keep that thing on your head, it's got scriptures in it. You think because you stand up in front of all these people and you say these great big long prayers, you think that you got it all together. He's saying these prostitutes and tax collectors that come to me, and they had, we see it in scripture. We read about Zacchaeus and preached about that the other night. He said, they will come to the heaven before you. Boy, you better watch how you bow your chest up and get all holy. Your holiness is in Jesus, and that's it. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. Churches are teaching you can live any way you want to live. That's not what I'm talking about. Don't mistake grace for an act to sin or a permission to sin or permission to live in sin. Grace is so you don't live in sin. See, they didn't understand. They knew the scriptures better than us. But they put all their confidence in what their forefathers had said, and they didn't even realize that Jesus, the Son of God, who was sent for them to die for them so that they could have eternal life, was standing right in front of them. How's people going to feel that come to church all the time and stand before God? We talked about the two judgments Wednesday night, and they stand before God, and they come to church all the time. They might have been on boards. They might have been on worship teams. They might have been in a pulpit. But they never truly repented of their sins. They never truly came clean and confessed their sins and built on a firm foundation. And he's going to look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you, workers of iniquity. How do you think they're going to feel? Some of you listen to me, and some of you just watching, you need to listen to me. I'm not going to sit here and accuse anybody of playing church games. I'm really not. But I'm telling you, you better not play around with God. Because it's one thing to trick the preacher and trick your wife, trick your husband, trick your kids or whoever else. You ain't tricking God. You ain't tricking God. I'm not tricking God. And you're not going to fool God. And he told them the truth. He said, these tax collectors and prostitutes, those that come to me, those that repent and come to me, are going to enter into heaven before you. And I've seen this so many times in the church. The church will snarl their nose up at somebody. Now, again, I preach against sin. All sin. Not just a few sins. All sin. Sometimes we want to pick out a few and cause them one sin. Any sin will send you to hell unforgiven. Oh, y'all didn't. I don't know if y'all got that. Let me tell you something. Slandering somebody and gossip will send you to hell just as quick as adultery will. Lying, y'all need to listen. Lying, which is not telling the truth, just in case you didn't know that. Lying will send you to hell just as quick as a murderer. There's so many things that we've just got messed up. You say, I would never commit adultery. I got a lot of visitors and a lot of people that's new here. You may say, I would never commit adultery. Not so fast there, Jack. Have you ever lusted after somebody? Come on. Boy, it's quiet in here. Come on. Have you ever lusted after somebody? Have you ever looked at somebody and lusted after them beside your if you're a woman, your husband, or if you're a man, your wife? If you've ever lusted after somebody, then the Bible said, Jesus said, that you've committed adultery already. You didn't have to commit the act. $25. I need the money anyway. I'm going on a fishing trip. Listen. You say, I would never kill anybody. I would never murder anybody. Some of you have murdered so many people with your mouth, it ain't even funny. Some of you, the Bible says, if you look at a person and you hate them, you committed murder already. You didn't have to use a 357. You use this and you use this and you use this. You hated them, and the Bible says that you committed murder already. I want you to understand that this last 2 weeks that Jesus was alive, he was trying to really train up the disciples because he knew he was getting ready to leave. Now, he didn't leave them by themselves. He gave them the Holy Spirit. But he was trying to train them up and to let them understand what was going on and to show them, boys, you better be praying. You better not allow this stuff to happen in the house of God. My house, my Father's house is a house of prayer. Don't allow this. You got to have faith and don't doubt. Just like when he cursed the fig tree, he said, don't doubt. If you have faith and you believe it's according to God's will, it's going to happen. He said that. He taught that. Amen? And then he taught us this, that just because you're religious and just because you know the Bible and just because you come to church don't make you no Christian. You know who the two worst classes of people were on the face of the earth when Jesus was talking? The two worst class people were tax collectors because they hated them and prostitutes because they would kill them as soon as they caught them. And the truth of the matter is a lot of them probably was doing that on the side and nobody knew it. Jesus' last 2 weeks was spent teaching the disciples how to live. How to walk. That's what we're supposed to do as a church body. We're supposed to teach people how to walk, how to live. Amen? That's what I'm trying to teach you. Because I want you to make it to heaven. What does it matter if this church is full of people that don't make it to heaven? What does it matter if you make all these videos and all these worship videos and all this stuff and people just love you to death? But the people in the church don't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They've never repented of their sins. Do you know that there's people that don't even know you got to repent? How in the world, in this church age that we're in, Laodicean is what I think it is, the last church age, that's my personal opinion, that they don't even realize that they got to repent of their sins? They don't realize that they got to tell the Lord, I'm sorry, and then become a slave to him. That's what Jesus is teaching his disciples. You got to give everything to the Lord. Everything to the Lord. You got to trust him with everything that's within you. And then he said, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. He said, come out from among them and be you separate, says the Lord. We're not supposed to act like the world. Amen. I'm not saying, Paul said, I become as them as a, you know, I'm not saying we cut up with people. Y'all noticed yesterday I cut up with people and pick with people and mess with people and joke all the time and stuff. But I mean, I heard Glenna tell people a lot of times, don't believe a word he says unless he's in the pulpit. Because I'm a prankster. I love to cut up. I love to pick. There's nothing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about with your mouth, the cussing and the swearing and the drinking and the partying and all the other things that you may be doing. It is not what God wants you to do. He was telling his disciples, hey, boys, you better get this right, because these religious people that y'all have been listening to all these years is not right. Amen. I want it to be said of New Vision Ministries, whether anything else is said, they're faithful to God and they preach the truth. Amen. Amen. That's what I want to be said. And I want us to be found faithful when Jesus comes back. Don't, if you're not working, don't miss Wednesday night. It's gonna be powerful, okay? Because we're gonna continue from right here. We're gonna go on. We're gonna go through the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus went through all the praying and all the things with the disciples. I'm gonna try to go through it as quick as I can, and I want to explain some things to you, and I want us to understand what Jesus went through for us. Amen. Tommy, let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for being such an awesome teacher in your Word. For showing us these things, Lord, that we've got to pray. We've got to make church a house of prayer. We need to. I thank you for the intercessors that have been raised up in this church. I know that the awesome services we've been having is because people are praying. But I also understand that people are under attack. And when we get under attack, that's when we really got to pray. And we got to seek your face and we got to hear from you, Lord. And then how you showed the disciples about praying in faith and believing. God, help us to pray in faith and believe. We're believing for revival. We're believing for a move of God. Help us to pray this in faith, Lord. Every great revival I've been reading about, every single one come by, most of the time, one person praying, God, raise up intercessors in this place. God, that we would see the fullness of what you would want us to see. We hadn't scratched the surface yet. God, I do thank you. I mean, I really thank you as a pastor for those people that you're bringing in from the north, south, east, and the west. People that are hungry for a fresh and a real word. Not for perfect people, but for people that serve a perfect God, that are willing to confess their sins and flee from the very appearance of evil, Lord. God, all those things that you taught the disciples, you want to teach us. And then you want us to, in turn, teach others. So, Lord, again, I praise you for what you're doing here. I thank you for moving by your Spirit. But, Lord, I pray that you'd take the spiritual blinders off. We're not in a game. The attack that is on the church right now is not a game, and it's not just a coincidence, and it's not going to go away. It's just going to get worse. That's what your Word teaches. So, Lord, I thank you for raising people up. For raising a standard, Lord. Your standard is your Word. For raising people up that are willing to quit doing what they're not supposed to do and start doing what they're supposed to do so that we can see and usher in the last day revival that you're going to bring. I believe it all in my heart. Time is short. I'm not saying a week or 2 weeks. I don't know. It may be right now in 15 seconds. But God, I believe time is short and I believe you're going to do an awesome work. I believe you're speaking through your prophets and speaking through others and laying it on people's hearts of how the Spirit of God is going to fall. This rain we've been talking about, this fresh rain, new rain, the latter rain, Lord, that we've been praying for and believing for is coming. Just like Gehazi, when he went out, 7 times he looked and didn't see anything. And finally, on the 7th time, he told Elisha, he said, I see the cloud the size of a man's hand. Well, we may see a little spark, but we're seeing it in families, and I thank you for that. Lord, if there's anyone in here that's lost that doesn't know you, I pray that you'd save them today. They call out to you. I pray anyone in this room and listening, Lord, right now, if they're backsliding, if they're away from you, if they're cold and indifferent, if they're just not even feeling it anymore, Lord, please touch them. I've been there for 2 years. I've been there, but I still kept praying. I still kept reading my Bible. I still kept doing the things that I knew I was supposed to do. And I walked through that valley and you was right there with me. You carried me most of the time. There's some that's in a spiritual valley right now, Lord, and I pray in Jesus' name that you would touch them, Lord. Cause them to remember the good times, the faithful times, Lord, the times that they felt your spirit, maybe even the times where they went to the altar and you touched them. May they remember those times, Lord. God, touch your people. Revive us again, O Lord. Tommy's going to sing. These altars are always open. If you want to come and pray and seek the face of God, nobody's going to bother you. But I want to take a moment. I always want to give opportunity for you to praise the Lord and to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come broken hearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't hear.
Listen to that.
Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't hear.
No matter what you're going through, he can heal it.
So lay down your burdens and lay down your shame.
Thank you, Jesus.
And all who are broken, lift up your face. Who wanderer, come home. You're not too far.
Not too far, church.
So lay down your hurt and lay down your heart. Come as you are.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table.
Yes.
Come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burden and lay down your shame.
Lay it down.
And all who are broken, of your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, and come as you are. Has no sorrow that heaven can't heal.
Yes.
Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal.
Yes.
So lay down your burdens and lay down your shame.
Yes.
And all who are broken, lift up your face. As you are,
yes.
Come as you are,
yes.
come as you are.
Yes. Hallelujah. Come as you are. The good thing is we come as we are, and then he changes us into what he'd have us to be. Amen. I want to challenge you this week. This is a powerful week for us Christians. And I want you to study some of the word. Go towards the end of the chapters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read and study all the things that Jesus went to and went through for us because he loves us. God, we worship you. We love you. Thank you for doing a work that only you can do. I know sometimes we don't see it, but we know that you're moving, Lord. Even when we don't see it, we know that you're moving. We give you praise and glory for everything that you've done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Don't leave. I about forgot. If you turn the lights on for me. All those that, you know, the ones that have come to the new members class that feel like that this is where you're supposed to be. And those that have come before that maybe you didn't come up that week whenever you came. If you want to come up and God's laid it on your heart to be a member of New Vision Ministries, if you come up here now, we appreciate it. Good group. Just line up this way, facing towards them. Get right here in front of this altar. That's a good place to be. All right. And if you would, you got this on? Purple. You got me?
Hello, my name is Jennifer Coffey. Been saved, but I backslid. I kept riding back and forth through this church every day, and I just kept drawing nearer and nearer and nearer to the church, and I said, one day I want to visit. And the next thing I knew, my sister-in-law and my brother told me they were visiting here. And I was like, I know that's where I'm supposed to be. And I was brokenhearted, y'all. I'm going through a lot of things. And I was brokenhearted, and I was torn to pieces. And the minute I pulled in the parking lot, I was bawling, and all through that service, I couldn't stop the tears. And the preacher, I feel like the services have been just for me, like there was no one else around. And I know this is where I'm supposed to be. And I asked you, and I beg you, to please let me join this church. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Ana Canales, and I am so happy to be here.
My name is David Kitchen. We just moved up here a few months ago from Florida, and we've been looking for a long time for a real church. A lot of places that call themselves churches, but they're not real churches, where the Holy Spirit is really there and moving, and the people are submitting to what he wants to do. We're very blessed that we found this church, and you're very blessed to be part of this church, because we've been around a lot of places, and there's not many that really let God be free, and that's what we've been looking for, a place where the Spirit of God is free, so he can have his way. Amen.
Ditto. My name is Kim Kitchen, and I'm very glad to be here. I'm so glad to be a part of Jesus' body, because he loves his body. He loves his bride, and he's preparing her to meet him someday. And I really believe God's doing that here in this place. And as Dave said, we searched for and prayed and fasted for God to connect us with our, you know, our tribe, our the body of Christ, where he wanted us to be. And it's been a long road. It's been a long journey. And every day we say, oh God, thank you so much for connecting us up with your people. Because truly it's a miracle to us, because we've been waiting for so long. But when we came here, the Lord confirmed through many different ways. He confirmed that this is where we needed to be. And we knew when we came in here, the first time, it just felt like home here.
And so, yes, nice to meet you all. I hope to meet you all someday. Yesterday was really awesome. I was so glad to serve the Lord in his house yesterday. It's truly an honor to serve the Lord. And so I thank you for having us.
Hi, my name is Sarah Oscom, and my parents actually told us about this place because we've been searching with them, and it's been a long time since I can say that I've really felt the presence of the Lord in a place as soon as you walk in the door, and it's been a real blessing to be here and to become a member here.
My name is Frederick Oscom, and I'm very happy that me and my wife found this church.
I guess they saved the best for last. So I moved down here shortly after my parents moved here. My name is Rebecca Kitchen. I moved down here a couple months after my parents made the decision to move to North Carolina. God had me give up a lot of things in Florida, a lot of my friends, a lot of my job, everything. And he's been replacing it. Even friends I've met, Liz and Anita, and they've been wonderful. And I look forward to meeting all of you as well. So I'm just blessed to be here as too.
Amen. You guys, would you stretch your hands towards these? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these awesome people that you've brought to us. Lord, I realize that every single one of them are unique and that you have different, or they have different gifts, talents, abilities, and things that you've placed inside of them. So, Lord, I thank you that you have chosen to bring them here. And God, may they just bloom. May they grow deep roots, and may they bloom, Lord, and do the things you've called them to do. May our family here accept them, love them, encourage them, help them, mentor them, come along beside them, iron sharpening iron, Lord, and just building your kingdom. This is not just about New Vision. This is about building your kingdom. But I thank you that they've gotten plugged in here. So do a work, God. Continue to do a work in their life, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. If you would, we do like the right hand of fellowship thing where they walk around and shake your hand if you want to do that, if you feel comfortable doing that. And guys, after you're done, there's Randall right there. He's going to get your picture, so smile real big. All right. Love you guys. I'll see you Wednesday night. What else? Pictures in the foyer. Pictures in the foyer. 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 Love you guys. God bless you. Oh, Jordan. Where's Jordan at? Jordan, stand up over there, Jordan. Everybody sit down for a minute. Y'all see Jordan? Jordan's been hiding behind the drums for a while, but today is Jordan's birthday. So happy birthday, Jordan. All right. God bless you guys. Love you.